Time to get started. This group really loves to visit. I love it. Before I introduce this evening's Master of Ceremonies for our banquet, I just want to announce the tickets are all sold! Thank you, thank you, thank you for making this a very successful raffle. We are totally excited. It gives me great pleasure right now to introduce to you someone who probably needs no introduction because he's very well known, but he's very, he's just an all-round good guy. And you've already heard from him once this weekend. So it gives me great pleasure at this time to introduce the president of the South King Council of the Blind, your Master of Ceremonies, Kevin Daniel.
Thank you, my dear.
Thank you, guys. I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to be a WCB member. I do want to start with our invocation tonight. Melissa Hudson, United Blind of Seattle, please proceed. Can we get her a mic, please? Please give her your due attention.
Testing, is it on? All right. Good evening, Washington Council of the Blind. And good evening, ACB. Let's hear it for ACB Radio. Woo! Well, I'm very honored that President Colley asked me to lead you all in prayer, but I need it quiet because in order for God to answer our prayers, he needs to hear us. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's pray. Denise, you want to hold my hand? Okay. Our dear blessed Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful for the God that you truly are. You truly are an awesome, awesome God. You said that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. So Lord, we call upon your great name right now. We thank you for the Washington Council of the Blind and all that it has to offer. And we thank you, Lord, for such a wonderful, wonderful weekend that each and every one of us have had. Lord, I want to thank you especially for this hotel staff, for the volunteers, and for everyone that has graciously helped us and provided us in-kind service this weekend to all of us. Now, Lord, as we take this time to celebrate and relax and just congratulate those that are winning awards and scholarships, we ask, Lord, right now that you bless this banquet and bless this food to our bodies and the hands that prepared it. All these things I ask in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And everyone said,
Amen.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome. So before we do a quick break to let you folks get some food, we're going to have a little bit of fun tonight. It's Kevin Daniel, so you know it's going to be off the chain. So every time you hear me say, wait, wait, everybody needs to say move. Let's try it out. Wait, wait.
Move.
Let's try it one more time. Wait, wait.
Move.
How many of you folks actually like music? So every time you get the wait, wait, and we get the loud move, we're going to party. If you are able to stand, you stand up. WCB needs to move. Tonight, we will be reflective of moving. If you cannot stand, you rock your behind in your chair. You put your arms up. All right, are we ready, Dave? Okay, wait, wait. Okay, some technical difficulty. We okay, David? See, we rehearsed this all day. So while we're waiting on David, I need members of the South King Council of the Blind to stand, because we could not have pulled this off without the wonderful members of the chapter. So if you're in the South King Council of the Blind member, please stand. Can we give a hand for these folks? Thank all of you. Are we ready, Dave? All right. Okay. Okay, guys, here we go. Wait, wait. Okay. All right. Okay, enjoy your meal. I'll be back at you in about 20 minutes. Enjoy your meal. Thank you. Get your attention, please, everybody. Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to do a door prize, but I want to introduce the head table up here. Starting to my right at the end of the table, the woman that hit the lottery 11 years ago when she married me, Marcia Daniel. Marcia is from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We met in Austin, Texas, where our son was born. And I used to be Marcia's supervisor. And once we realized there were sparks flying, I had to fire her. But no, thank you very much, Marcia, for being here and supporting me and my advocacy. It was nothing on you. Thank you, Marcia. To my left, probably the absolute quintessential state chapter president, Denise Colley. And of course, our banquet keynote, Mr. Tony Stevens. Okay, we are ready for a door prize. Shannon Curry, you ready, my dear? All right.
All right. Good evening. Good evening. Are we all having fun yet? Woo! Do we all like to earn some money? Yes. And by earn, I mean have me pull out the money from this giant jar of money, names. So we got $50. A jar of money. We got $50 here from King County Chapter Council of the Blind, and I have not enough hands.
Here. I'll hold it.
All right. Thank you. And the winner of this $50 door prize is, I keep drawing these upside down, Jolene Ferguson. Do I have somebody to run that to her?
Okay. I can take it to her.
All right, there you go.
Okay. This is, here you go. Here you go. Two envelopes have 25 in each.
All right. We got some more door prizes.
Okay, guys, door prize, listen up.
If you don't hear your name, it's going right, well, it won't go right back in the jar this time. All right. These are going to be from the United Blind of Whatcom County. Yep, those are another $50. And this time, the winner is Andy Arvidson.
Oh. Okay, we got time for one more. And if someone from Guide Dog Users will be ready next for your raffle, so please make your way to the stage, or you can just do it where you are. So be ready, please.
All right. Lastly, more monies from the Capital City Council of the Blind. We are going to have another $50. And that is going to be... Joy Iverson.
Oh. Hold your hand up, Joy, please. And we need a mic runner, so when you're done eating, if you're able to mic run, we would greatly appreciate it. If you decide to be a mic runner tonight, I've got a stack of baby pictures of myself, all signed. Okay, is Guide Dog Users ready to do your raffle? Thank you.
Byron is going to draw the ticket, and the winner, Kevin is going to draw the ticket. And then I'll tell you how much money you're going to get after we see who the winner is. There's two drawings. First one is for a basket full of goodies, dog treats, blankets, all sorts of interesting things.
Okay, the number is 155105. Just last it.
105. Who's got 105? They're checking their numbers, you guys. Danette Dixon, she won the basket. It says on the side of the thing, it says good dog. The next one is going to be cash. Kevin's going to draw the next one, and this is cash, you guys. $129. The winner is...
That's 154969.
969, the last three numbers. Who's got it? What lucky person has 969?
Is that you? 969, it's you.
Who? Byron. Oh, that's not fair. Byron got it. Uh-oh. I don't know if we're allowed to keep that. I don't think we can. We're going to draw again. That's a conflict of interest. Oh, it was a nice thought. Kevin's going to draw it again.
154982.
982. Who's got 982? Anybody? And for those of you who can't see your ticket, find somebody that is sitting beside you that can help you. 962. What was it? We're going to double check here. 982. Sorry. The people who drew the numbers didn't tell me the right number. 982. Check your stubs. Going once. Going twice. Oh, I think we see a hand. Was that it? 982? Oh, no. He was just waving at somebody. He was waving at some attractive woman across the room. Uh-oh. All right. We're going to draw another one. Uh-oh. Someone's checking. Hold on. Nope. All righty, we're going to draw again. Third time's the charm. Kevin is drawing again. Okay, here it is. Byron's going to announce a number.
154962.
962. Now we got that number. 962. Anybody got 962? Yeah, he took his out so we can't draw it again. So, I see somebody over by the window. 962. Oh. Draw another one.
155160.
160. Hey! There we got a winner. I think it looks like J.R. Kinnison. Hey, way to go. I'm going to go deliver this to him, and you can ask him to buy you drinks at hospitality. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Guide dog users from Washington State. If you need more information on guide dog users, please see one of their members. If you're thinking about getting a dog, if you have a dog, there's not a better resource in this particular state. Someone from South Kitsap. We have another drawing. South Kitsap, please. I believe it's the lovely and talented Carol Brahm. Marsha Daniel will draw.
All right. And even though might be a conflict of interest, we've decided if Chris and I win, because we did buy a few tickets, we will donate it back to our chapter for helping send us. All right. 903. On your blue ticket that has a hole in it, a little hole in it, it's 1736, 903. Anybody have... 903. All right. Not hearing any. We'll draw again.
There we go.
Kevin's got a ticket. This is the winner. This is now the winner. 905. That was pretty close. Anybody got 905? Okay. They're looking. Are you done looking? Everybody looked at their ticket, know their number? All right. Well, we're going to try Denise. We're going to see if Denise can draw that lucky winning number. Maybe she'll draw her own number. They're not brailled, so she can't see it. Can't cheat. Oh, you have 905? Oh, all right. Who had it? Sarah had 905? Okay, just a minute. Let me go look.
Okay, she's going to go check it out to make sure that that is correct. After this, a little bit of karaoke. So for those of you who can sing, and even those of you who can't sing, tonight's your night. In the hospitality suite, we will be set up to do a little bit of music, so please join us. We will go from 9:30 until... Chances are, when I wear a silly grin... La da da da.
All right, Sarah did have the winning number, and she won $102. And I just want to thank everybody who supported South Kitsap Council of the Blind.
All right. Okay, one of my favorite parts of the weekend is scholarships. If Kim Moberg can work, make her way up to the podium, please. If you've not gotten a chance to meet one of our scholarship recipients, please do yourself a favor. I've been impressed every year we do this, but this particular year, they are just off the chain. Really, really wonderful young folks. Off the chain. Go ahead and come around to your left. To your left. I'm saying again. If you are a scholarship recipient tonight, I think there's three of you, please make your way to the podium. The scholarship winners, please make your way to the podium.
There was one more 50-50 round.
Well, we're not done.
Okay, I didn't know.
Yep. Thank you. I think there's three recipients tonight. If you can just go ahead and face out and put your back against the table here so the folks can see your lovely faces. Do you think we have one more? All right, thank you. There you go, my dear. You want to hold it or do you want to stand? You can come around if you want to stand.
You want me to come to the stand?
Yeah, if it's easier for you to do one.
Okay.
Right there, go around to your left.
Hey, Kim, give me a second, okay?
Yep.
You're almost there. You're almost there. And here's the mic right up here.
All right, great.
All right, I'm going to move it down a little bit for your head. There you go, my dear.
Thank you.
You want to get a little close to me?
No, I'm okay.
Okay. Make sure you get everybody's attention. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I think it's... I think it's low.
There we go. Thank you.
Is that high enough?
There you go.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Okay. Welcome. We've had a wonderful year, and we have four recipients this year, and they're each awesome scholarship awardees. The first person that I'm going to introduce to you is Courtney Cole. Courtney attends Central Seattle University. She's from Seattle, Washington, and she's getting a degree in communications. She will graduate in June of 2020. I really look forward to seeing what Courtney is going to end up doing with her life, because she's already off to a fantastic start. Courtney will be receiving a scholarship in the amount of $3,000. Next, I have Jessamine Lanby. She is from Bremerton, Washington. She attends Olympic High School, we have a high school and a college named the same, Olympic College, and she is studying accounting. She will have an associate's degree in May of 2019. She is receiving a $3,000 scholarship. Tamara DiGelano. is attending Evergreen State College. Her degree is in, she's getting a bachelor's of science in agricultural education. She's from Longview, Washington, and she will be receiving a $3,500 scholarship. And then Tracy Fajoran is our last scholarship winner. She is not able to attend because while at school, she fell down a flight of steps and broke both bones in the one leg. She's in rehab and plans on returning to school in winter quarter. I just spoke with her this morning, and she's looking forward to getting back to school. She will be graduating with a degree in communications and also minoring with a degree in disability advocacy. She attends Eastern Washington University. She lives in Spokane, Washington, and she will be receiving a $5,000 scholarship. Congratulations to all of you.
So thank you. The three of you, best of luck in your lives and your careers. One more hand for our scholarship winners. More celebration tonight. If Mika White, we're going to celebrate some our awards committee. Mika is the chair of our awards committee. So Mika, we can bring the mic to you or you can have you come up here. Whatever. Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, give me an M. E. K. A. Come on up here, girl. Keep on coming, Mika.
I might need a G-U-I-D-E.
Marcia's right here. So actually, keep coming. Use that table, sit anything on you'd like. And there is your mic, and you're going to face the crowd.
Right. Hello, WCB. It is that wonderful time of the night where we get to celebrate. We get to celebrate people that we know. We get to celebrate people who have made impacts in our chapter, in our state, and in other various roles. So really, really quickly, yesterday when I was giving out two awards, there were a couple of people that I could not track down. So is Wenatchee Valley Council of the Blind in here right now? Okay. And Annie Hartzell. Okay. If someone could take this to Annie for me, I would appreciate it. And if you could raise your hand. Okay. All right. So I'm just going to ask everyone to just take a breath and let's quiet down so we can really show our respect to our award winners. Thank you. So this award is an internal award. It is our Newsline Editors Award. The Newsline Editors Award is awarded to a writer who has written an outstanding article for the Newsline within the last year on some aspect of blindness. So, you know, the blind, you know, we rely on technology more and more every single day. And it just seems like we have this great emphasis for technology, and whether it is mainstream or proprietary. And maybe what if we're concerned if that technology might be listening to us, or where is it going within the next 50, 100, 200 years? Personally, I want it to wash my dishes. But this award, this year's Newsline Editors Award, is presented to the author of Peering Into the Tech Crystal Ball, Frank Cuda. And the award says, oh, this is very creative braille reading that's about to happen right now. Okay, let's see. Okay, I figured it out. I'm balancing it carefully. The award reads, the Washington Council of the Blind Newsline Editors Award is presented to Frank Cuda in recognition for your thought-provoking article of original content entitled Peering Into the Tech Crystal Ball. This article was a fascinating exploration of the plausible impact of fully integrating technology into our lives and what that may look like in the future. Signed by Denise Colley, November 3rd, 2018. Here you are, Frank. I'm going to give you... Hang on, I got it. Oh, thank you. Frank is teaching me how to give out awards properly. Okay. This next award is a newer award. This was an award that was visualized last year on the awards committee. So as I read, if we can please listen, so that we can show our award winners the due respect that they deserve. Thank you. Teacher of the Year Award for any teacher who instructs either children or adults who are blind or visually impaired. I want to read to you part of the letter, and the name of the person will be in the letter. Whether working with someone on the slate and stylus, reading grade one braille, or honing their existing braille skills, Andrew Stauffer meets the individual where they're at in their desire to learn Braille. Enthusiastic about UEB, which is the Unified English Braille Code, he has worked hard to learn this code and positively share it with his students, even those who have been reluctant to learn the new code. Twice a month, Andrew leads a reading group, which is called the Braille Blazers. Together, 6 to 10 attendees share, 6 to 10 attendees, 6 to 10, together, 6 to 10 attendees share lunch and then read an article together with a varying degree of reading levels. This is a great way to encourage reading in a safe and supportive environment. Learning Braille can be challenging to learn as an adult, but employees at the Lighthouse for the Blind Incorporated are fortunate to have Andrew Stauffer as their instructor. He not only teaches a well-rounded curriculum, but he's engaging and encouraging to each student along their Braille journey. And I am going to read to you the certificate, which is upside down to test my reading skills. Okay. The Washington Council of the Blind Teacher of the Year Award is presented to Andrew Stauffer, Braille Literacy Instructor, the Lighthouse for the Blind Incorporated, for embracing the unified English Braille code and bringing the joy and knowledge of Braille to adult learners by meeting each student where they are on their Braille literacy journey. Denise Cauley, President, November 3rd, 2018. Andrew, here you are. Thank you. what's that? No. So that is, you're so welcome. Yeah, stand like you like me.
Pretend that you guys are like, smile. Pizzeria.
Braille.
For Healy.
Would you? Hold on. Oh, okay. Oh yeah, let's turn it around.
Hey, that might be even better. It goes with the outfit, guys. Pizzeria.
I'm going to give you the microphone right here.
Okay. Hi. I would very much like to thank the Washington Council of the Blind for presenting me this award. I'm completely honored and frankly flabbergasted to have won this award. I want to tell a quick funny story about working at the Lighthouse. I really enjoy teaching Braille. It's something that really, 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 Braille has been such a part of my life since I was about 4 or 5. And I really enjoy passing it on to people. I want to tell a funny story though, if I may. As many of us do here, I work for the Lighthouse for the Blind Incorporated. Yay! I've actually done a few different types of jobs at the Lighthouse. I used to work in the contact center, like Mika, which is where I learned how to spell, which has been really helpful in my job as a Braille instructor. But when I first came to Lighthouse, maybe 10 years ago, I worked down in the machine shop, and I had a really awesome trainer, and he was teaching me how to use these bridge ports. And one day he said, I'm setting up a job for you. This is your big test. And I totally trashed the machine. I just totally cut up the taper block, and it was like over. And he said, you're not really qualified to do this right now. So a few days later, I went up to him and I said, well, is there any way that I can, you know, get back on that machine anytime soon? And he sort of said, well, no. And we sort of argued back and forth for about 5 minutes about it. I said, come on, you know, give me another chance. He said, well, you know, let me explain this to you, Andrew. I'll tell it to you like this. He said, you are like a nail that has been nailed into the wall and is sticking out of the wall. And he said, someday someone will hang a picture on you. And you guys hung the picture, so thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And congratulations to our award winners. Thank you all.
So, having the pleasure of recruiting and being involved with Andrew's promotion at the Lighthouse, there's not a better Braille trainer in the entire state. and potentially the U.S. Andrew, I'm proud to know you. Congratulations, my friend. All right. Okay, Yakima has a drawing, a raffle. Someone from Yakima, please. Yakima Council of the Blind. Take your time, thank you. So while she's making her way up here, so these two sighted guys go into a bar. Oh, never mind, she's here.
Okay, we did our 50-50 raffle a little bit differently this year. We're going to have two winners, and the first name I draw, or the first name Kevin draws, or first number, you will have your choice of the money that we have, 50-50, or an Echo Dot. So the person who wins it, the ticket number is 665, and it's Daryl Bird. Hey. Okay. All right. If you want to come up here, come on up here, and you'll either get $35 in cash or an Echo Dot. What's your choice? $35 in cash or an Echo Dot. All right, there you go. Okay, so now Kevin's going to draw the second winner who's going to get this Echo Dot. Oh. Okay, this one, the back side did not get a name put on it. So look at your numbers. It's 2396707. 707. That's why we haven't put the name, so I can say the name too. 707. Okay, I'm gonna have him draw another. Okay, this one's 676, Rick Plath. Are you here? Okay, you get an Echo Dot. Thank you for supporting Yakima Valley, and our other fundraiser will still be going on in hospitality. You can give us money to put somebody in hospitality jail where they can't drink.
Okay. I'm ready. All right, thank you very much. Hey guys, a big hand for Yakima Council. For those of you who've not yet been to Yakima, it is the Miami of the Northwest, I promise you. The Miami of the Northwest. Okay, door prize, Shannon Curry, door prizes. Woo!
Marcia?
Yeah.
Just read.
Before. All right, we still having fun?
Yeah.
All right, so who? I mean, I know we're having this delicious food, but you know, I got a poor man's dinner date package for us. Well, rich man's dinner date package. Oh. I got a $25 gift certificate to Red Robin from Glenn and Ursula McCulley, and $25 cash so you can go see that movie from the Peninsula Council of the Blind. And the person going on our WCB dinner and a movie date is Mike Majors.
Oh.
Did I keep that?
Mike, are you here?
Oh.
Let's do two more, Shannon.
All right, now we have a $25 Visa gift card from Glenn and Ursula McCulley and $25 from the Peninsula Council of the Blind. Then I almost dropped my Braille display, and that would have not been very much fun for me. And the winner of that is Stuart Russell.
I'll take that.
Okay. Who are these from?
Okay, one more.
South King Council of the Blind, $25.
Yeah, are they both?
We're both from South King Council of the Blind.
All right, now we're going to get to my favorite part, which is where we're going to give some door prizes that my chapter contributed. So we're going to do 50 smackers from South King County Council of the Blind. Which is the Orlando of...
Nice. Nice.
Okay. Samuel Villa? Not here. All right. Janelle Edwards?
She's here. Thank you very much, Shannon.
That's it.
Right. Now it is my honor and pleasure to introduce the, your attention please, to introduce our banquet address presenter, director of advocacy and governmental affairs, American Council of the Blind, Tony Stevens.
Excellent. Hello, everybody. Oh, that sounds like people going through food coma. What's the right word to say? I'm getting the mic set up here. First off, let's give a big round of applause again for all the award winners. And the scholarship winners as well. It's so wonderful to hear that there are young people out there wanting to get involved with advocacy. I love to hear that. And I can't say, you know, as well, another big round of applause for Kevin for his work as MC. I need to say thank you to Denise and Burl for inviting me and hosting me. Denise, thank you not just for allowing me the opportunity to travel across the country and spend this weekend with you all, but also for your work that you do on the national level with ACB. Those that don't know, Denise is actively involved in the strategic planning for the advocacy that really is the roadmap that sets us forward with what we do on a national level and even a global level with the American Council of the Blind. So thanks to Denise and Jeff Bishop, who's also on our board. Congrats, Jeff, for today. And you know, it's been a wonderful opportunity to get out here. And the first time I came to Seattle was 17 years ago. And it was one of those experiences that was simply magical. It was my first time ever really being in this part of the country. I was working on a radio project. I'm going to lower this mic a little. I was doing some freelance work for radio. And we'll actually be talking about stories and things like that in a second. But I did a cross country from Portland to Portland on a Greyhound bus. And I got to Portland. It was one of these 21-day passes, and I was archiving radio stations, so I didn't do a straight shot. I went up the East Coast to Portland, and then went across to Chicago, down to Dallas, over to Los Angeles, up to Portland, and then a friend of mine was going to Western Washington at the time in Bellingham. He was a college friend and high school friend. So I said, you know, I'm in Portland, I'm close enough to Bellingham. Went up there, and then he took me out on a ferry to Orca Island. And it was one of these experiences that was just a magical trip. I don't know what it is about this part of the country, but I'm a writer by trade. I was a journalist for a while before I got into this whole advocacy world. We're going to be talking about stories in a minute, and I'll share a little bit about my own story. But in a sense, you know, there is something about the Northwest that is very unique. Maybe it's because there's exotic places like Yakima and Walla Walla. I think anybody that watched Bugs Bunny as a kid always dreamed of going to Walla Walla, Washington with a suitcase that said Acme on the side of it. But you know, the friend of mine was actually studying literature and Native American literature, and he got me keyed into a lot of the indigenous writings and of this part of the country. And it really is a place that just, you know, stories just sort of abound by it. There's a sense of imagination and creativity, which explains why Seattle is one of the most creative cities in the world. And so it's an honor and a privilege to come and get a chance to share with you all. This is kind of a bittersweet evening for me. News went out very recently on the leadership list for ACB, so I guess it's somewhat official now. Folks are already leaking it and been talking about it. But this will be my last opportunity to speak before a convention as Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs. It's a very good chapter change. When we talk about stories, and that's what the focus of my talk is this evening, is about storytelling. You know, a good story is rich with chapters. And there's always turns and changes, and I'm a firm believer that change is what keeps us young, in a sense, and it's what keeps us motivated and keeps the passion alive. So, for myself, I'm excited. I'll be executive director for a very small grassroots nonprofit in Baltimore. And it's an exciting opportunity because it's going to allow me to work specifically on education and families and safer streets in a town that has very high crime. And I have those that know, I have two sons, a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old. Hopefully they are not awake right now in their bed listening on ACB radio in their little blanket forts. If you are boys, go to sleep and tell Palmer he's a good boy. My dog couldn't make it this trip because he's having trouble flying these days. But to that end, it's a new chapter for me. So this is kind of a bittersweet experience. But honestly, I couldn't think of a more special place than to be here. Because it is rich, and even though I know not everybody that I've had the opportunity to work with in my almost 3 years at ACB is here tonight. And we've heard about, you know, the stories of those that are no longer with us today. And yesterday, I guess it was with Marlena and Sue. I still was so weirded out when I came in, and that was playing over the loud system, because I took a bio break and walked in, and that totally took me by surprise. But to that end, storytelling, right? I'm a journalist by trade, as I said. I've had the best job over the past 3 years. My job has been going to tell everybody's story. Advocate from the Latin. I was a Latin teacher many years ago in Lower East Side of Manhattan in New York City. Means simply to speak on behalf of. And I've had no greater job in this world than for my life having been an advocate. As a journalist, I tried to tell the stories of other people that didn't have a voice. Goes all the way back to when I knew I wanted to be a journalist in the 6th grade, when there was a boy named Kyle that was diagnosed with brain cancer. And I remember walking in the bathroom one day and these boys were just bullying up on him and just ridiculing him. He had lost his hair. He was in a wheelchair. And this was pre-ADA, so it was very inaccessible in the bathroom. And these kids were just being brutal to him. So I wrote my first op-ed for the 6th grade school newspaper on the need to make schools accessible and inclusive for people with disabilities, right? And since that point then, I knew I wanted to tell other people's stories. So tonight I want to focus specifically on that, because while I'll still be involved with ACB, which is very fortunate, Eric was a good friend of mine. I was, you know, and when he became executive director, Eric Bridges, those that don't know Eric Bridges, who's done an outstanding job in really leading this organization and doing wonderful things with ACB on a national level and shoring us up to be focused on the future, which is an exciting time for ACB right now on the national level. I encourage folks, if you have the resources, get out to Rochester next year. If you haven't been to a national convention, make it out to what is a wonderful city for storytelling. It's the home of the photograph. And you know, they can say a picture tells 1,000 words. Well, I think 1,000 words can be said in a lot of ways of what ACB is doing in the States. So if you can make it out to Rochester next summer, please do. But to that end, you know, I was excited to come work for Eric when he asked, you know, if I could come be part of his team in a sense of doing what he had done as advocacy. But it's a very humbling opportunity to tell people's stories, right? And it's trialing at times. You have to raise your fist up in the air and try to scream to get people's attention to hear the stories. But that's more rare than people might think, you know. I'm much more surprised by how much people want to hear the stories so much about, you know, people that are overcoming the challenges in independence. We all hear it in this room, right? I could never do what you do, right? You're amazing. You're like, well, I just crossed the street. It wasn't like, you know, I was thirsty and the drink was on that side of the street at the 7-Eleven. So thank you for thinking I'm walking on water. So, you know, we've all had those moments, right? But people are moved by the stories of struggle and challenges. Essentially, there's only been a few real stories told throughout all of history, right? And they all sort of carry the same arc or narrative, right? Something happens that creates a need, right? The protagonist has a need. He or she needs something. And then the other part of the story is something's in the way of that need, right? What's the obstacle? What's the thing that's the barrier? And I always tell people when people are always like, well, I'm impressed with what you do in Washington, the other Washington, the crazy Washington. And it's, I was just kind of thinking like the cousin that's a little. So, you know, in that sense of a story, like I can't do what you do. And it's just basic storytelling, right? Being an advocate is simply speaking on behalf of people and telling stories in a way to get people's attention that they can understand it, even if they haven't been where you have been. Think of the favorite story in your own life. If it's a book, if it's a movie, if it's a poem, if it's even just, you know, a meditation on an image in your head, or something that you hear, a song, and it creates this whole sort of story around one song. It's amazing how much Broadway in New York City now can create a whole play off like a song. Like if it's ABBA or if it's Billy Joel or somebody. So, you know, stories are just waiting to be told, right? And we know that there's the, like I said, the protagonist, and there's something standing in the way. And then there's, guess what? Happy ending sometimes, not all the time. If you're French, maybe not all the time. But for the most part in the U.S., we love happy endings. So we overcome those stories, and people love to hear those stories. So, you know, being an advocate really isn't that hard, because it's simply telling a story in a way that captures the imagination and the attention of someone else. In my case, when I was in journalism school, it was, you know, trying to write a story of, I hated sports. I was never a sport because I couldn't play it because my eyes, right? And yet the first job I was able to get as a journalist for a daily newspaper, I was so excited, was a sports writer. So they stuck me on soccer. This was in rural Georgia, north of Atlanta, where nobody played soccer back then. So they're like, well, put the blind guy on soccer. He'll be great at it. They only score like, what, 1 point a game? He can keep track of that. So, you know, that was my first entry when I went off into college and got a job at a real newspaper. It was being a sports writer. But, you know, you tell stories in ways that captivate the imagination. I learned to write stories in a way that I would like to know about soccer, because I didn't know anything about soccer at that time. And now I have a six-year-old playing soccer, and it actually, I never thought it would come in handy, but it did. So, but to that end, we tell stories. And think of your favorite story again, just going back to that, right? What has anybody ever ridden, actually gone down a raft down the Mississippi? Has anybody ever actually, okay, maybe one person. Has anybody ever been attacked by a shark? My favorite is Jaws. It's one of my favorite movies. Has anybody ever been attacked by a shark in here? I hope not. Has anybody ever been abducted by aliens? Nobody? Has anybody ever been put in a corner and said, you can't put me in a baby in a corner or something like that? You know, it's like, or boxed with an 80-pound slab of meat in a freezer. You know, think of all these stories that are powerful stories. Has anybody ever stood in Morocco as the woman you love gets on a airplane and flies away? Like Casablanca, right? You know, there's all these stories in the world. I don't know about you, but I've never done any of that. But I am a sucker for those stories. I love, one of the best parts of having two young children is getting to take them to the movies all the time. And it's the kind of thing, because it's to let them experience stories as well that are like completely new. Because they're all kind of the same. They're all somehow, you know, taken off of Shakespeare, right? But for the most part, these stories are things we've never identified. So what makes them compelling in a sense then, right? And I want to tie this specifically to advocacy. Because really being an advocate is essentially just being a good storyteller. It's being able to tell a story the same way that when you go to a movie and you leave that movie, you're thinking about it the next day. and maybe the day after that. Or maybe even 20 years ago, you're like going through Netflix or something, and you run across, oh, that was such a good movie, let's watch that again. So, those key elements in storytelling, right? As an advocate, it is the core. It's what we do. Now, in terms of being able to take a story and say it in a way that's persuasive, it takes really two things, two key things. The first is passion, right? Has anybody ever read a book over 500 pages? No, you can't say a Braille edition counts. I mean, like a print book over 500 pages, right? That do you remember the first time you had a book in like the third grade that was like 50 pages and your head was going to explode and you're like, there's no way I can get through this. And then you're on 500 page books and maybe you're on a 1200 page book and then maybe you're doing a whole series of books that's thousands of pages at the end, right? Like the Harry Potter series or something like that. So, you know, passion is what gets people to turn the next page. And when you're passionate about telling the story, it really resonates through. So, whatever it is when it comes time for us to advocate, is it an issue that you're passionate about? And ask that question first. And even if it's not, you can always find the passion in something. Think of a movie that's maybe a movie you never thought you would be interested in. Like Wall Street, or, that was a really stretch far back. The Bodyguard with Whitney Houston. You know, I was never a huge Whitney Houston fan, but you know, you were drawn in because the person you can tell writing that story was passionate about it, right? They told it in a way that got them excited, and you can tell it gets the person listening to you excited. So if there's an issue, even if it's about audible signals for link crossings, or if it's, you know, audible pedestrian signals, or if it's getting Braille in certain materials, if you're passionate, people are going to listen. They can't help but not listen for anybody excited. It's a passion. The second thing that is important, and this is critical as well in storytelling, is how is it that some of these stories that have nothing to do with us experientially, how do they resonate inside our hearts, right? At the core of every story is a value. There's something to be told that even in Washington, D.C. today, as fractured as it is, the Marrakesh Treaty that passed recently passed with unanimous consent. Every member of the U.S. Senate voted for Marrakesh. Every member of the U.S. House of Representatives voted for Marrakesh. Because there were advocates, both us and the other organization, but also the publishers and other people, that we're passionate about the issue. When we are passionate about things and get people excited about things, people listen. But when we talk about it from a value perspective as well, it wasn't just the passion of Marrakesh, but it was the values of opportunity and equality, the core things to be able to say, look, you can go into a library, you being the sighted person, let's say the member of Congress, and pick up any book and just start reading. Imagine what that would feel like for somebody in Somalia tomorrow for the first time in their life. The idea of real independence. Liberty, in a sense, comes from the Latin word liberis, which means freedom, right? The idea of truly being free, and there's nothing more free for the imagination than picking up a good book. Opening up the pages to a good story. And just in telling that alone, that liberty, one of the greatest values of our country, that this is a sense of real freedom, of libertas, whenever the person opens up the book for the first time, that's a powerful story. And I believe it was those values as well that resonated in, you know, not just getting something passed by Congress, but it was a treaty, a UN treaty. So in that sense, I want us to take two things this evening and think about storytelling. I want us to think about the values What values do you share with somebody that you disagree with? I've gone to many a Springsteen concert. Bruce Springsteen, I'm a huge Springsteen fan. And he can get rather political in his talks. But I've gone there with Republicans and Democrats, right? Because there's something about the words in his songs that resonate to people. Real artists talk across political ideologies, and so too should we with our stories. We should not be bogged down in ideologies, but we should be free by our enthusiasm to share the same values that we all humans share. I was very fortunate in becoming an advocate because of people's hardships. There was Kyle in school in sixth grade. There was my father when I was 21. My father was murdered in Mexico City by Federale soldiers. And that was the first point in my life. He was working for a major world global telecommunications company at the time. Had an amazing job. I was in college in the U.S. He was living in Mexico City, overseeing all of Latin America for this company. And I was up in college. I was on journalism scholarship studying, and I wanted to be like the editor for the Washington Post someday. That was my goal. I wanted to be, you know, go off and tell the stories of other people, like I said earlier. And in a moment, my life changed, and I became, at that point, I was no longer a journalist, but I was an advocate. It'll be 25 years next year. It was March 27th. It was on Palm Sunday, 1994. So it'll be 25 years next year. And I have been so fortunate that for 25 years, I've had the opportunity to be an advocate, specifically across all different aspects of nonprofits. And in a sense, I think how lucky I've been, because all I've been doing is telling other people's stories. You know? I mean, in a sense, telling my own story about overcoming my father's death, and it sort of opened up as to how he died slowly after he died. We knew something was weird, but we didn't know all the details, and slowly this stuff starts trickling out. It made me really reassess my life. I went off and spent 7 years in formation to be a Catholic priest because of this story of, does anybody ever remember the song Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard by Paul Simon? You remember that, you know? In a couple of days, they come to take me away, but the press let the story leak. And when the radical priest come to get me out, we were all on the cover of Newsweek. You know, I went from that idea of I wanted to write for Newsweek to be, I wanted to be that guy that gets in Newsweek, going out and speaking up on behalf of other people. So I've had an extremely fortunate opportunity. You know, I left journalism, graduate school in journalism to do, like I was with a group called the Jesuits, would go to Seattle University. Any Seattle grads here at all? Or people go to Seattle? And Gonzaga, I can't forget Gonzaga. They actually win the basketball, so. But yeah, so I was with the Jesuits for a number of years. And I got into it because I ran into a Jesuit priest that was the confessor to Mother Teresa. Talk about that gig. But he went blind from diabetes. And it was the first time I met someone that had been blind that was a, quote, advocate. I had met lots of advocates across other socioeconomic classes and races and things like that, but I never met a blind advocate. But here I met this man that was this confessor to Mother Teresa, and I fell like hook, line, and sinker. So for 7 years, I did that gig. It's unfortunately kind of a lonely gig because you can't get married. So I left to get married, and now I have two kids. When I left, I told my superior Jesuit, I'm just going to make baby Jesuits, is what I told him. So... And he was okay with that. He married my wife and I in Baltimore. But in a sense, you know, all through these experiences, I've had the opportunity to tell stories. It's been sort of a bittersweet, as I said, starting off, because, you know, I'm still going to be around ACB in a sense, but there's going to be other storytellers that are coming in. And there are going to be excellent storytellers coming in to tell the story on a national level in the national office at ACB. And we should be fortunate to be empowered to make sure we're giving them our stories. I mentioned this morning, you know, we need to know your stories so that we can help amplify your voices. Think of us as like the advocate publishing company. Our job is to amplify your stories to make them be heard. But what's even greater than that is in a sense of not how can ACB tell your story on a national level, but how can you tell your story? We don't need more advocates in Washington, D.C. in a sense of, you know, there's 13,000 people that work for the House of Representatives. There's 17,000 lobbyists, which on a good day, the lobbyists say, oh, I'm not a lobbyist. I'm an advocate, you know. No, you're not. You're lobbyists. You know, there are those of us that, you know, that are, you know, I'd like to think of myself as a real advocate, not a lobbyist. But in that sense, we don't need to put all of our trust in one storyteller, as great as it is in a sense of the direction and to have leadership is excellent. But we need all of you to tell your stories. The more we tell stories with our passion, particularly on blindness, because that's in a sense what we're all here for today, right, and tonight. The more that our stories begin to echo and amplify themselves. If it's with a local city council person, if it's with a member of Congress, if it's with the person next to you on the bus, what's your story? Mine was full of odd twists and turns, and yes, it was, you know, sort of this romantic life for a while, with the Jesuits and in Mexico with my dad and things like that. But it's in no way more unique or less unique than any other human being's story. We all have a beginning. On our first moments of life, we cried, right? And then immediately the world told us, shh, be quiet, right? Something stood in the way of our most fundamental need in life. And from that minute on, we've been advocating, right? So what are the areas you're passionate about? And what are the things that connect you to other people that may not be connected to those issues right now? Think of those. My hope is that this weekend can be an opportunity for people to be motivated and rejuvenated. Don't be afraid to tell your story. Fear is one of the greatest barriers that really keeps down the human voice. When we are born and we cry that first time, it starts off as a shh, a calming. But if you keep crying, is it still a shh? No, it's a be quiet. And then it's no, be quiet. Be quiet, you know, and then you start yelling at your kid, just will you stop crying? It's been 5 minutes. I remember the first time my child cried for 5 minutes, we thought something was wrong. And then like a year later, it was like those 30-minute squalls. And you're like, oh my God. So, you know, in that sense, more and more people try to silence us, right? More and more people try to stand in the way of our story. They are, in a sense, that perfect antagonist in this, you know, it's shh, telling us to be quiet, telling us to calm down and not to raise a fuss. But our stories need to be told. So I leave you with that. While I'll be leaving at my position at ACB, I'm still going to be an advocate. I'm still going to look forward to hopefully interacting with you all, if it's in Rochester or in other ways as I stay as a member of ACB. But in that sense, you know, my hope is that we can start hearing your stories and I can start hearing your stories. Find a way to tell them. So thank you for the hospitality. Denise, thank you again for the invitation. And if there's ever anything, I say this genuinely, that I can do, you know, as someone who is just a passionate person for stories, to listen and in a sense to offer whatever wisdom. But again, my wisdom is in knowing nothing. Because the story lies within you, not within me. So don't be afraid to tell that story. Don't be afraid to be an advocate. Don't be afraid to be a leader for the next 20 or 30 years, because we need that leadership. But it all comes in that passion just to tell a story for justice and independence and all things that tie us together. So thank you, and I look forward to getting a chance to chat with folks later, but it's been wonderful. And I leave you with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tony. I wish you the best. We wish you the best in all your future endeavors. Hopefully, in Rochester, we'll get a chance to see you again. You're always welcome back here to the state of Washington. Okay, so I'm going to try this storytelling thing on for size. You guys tell me how I do. So myself and a really good friend decide to go snowmobiling. We find the highest mountain to go snowmobiling on. It's pretty scary. I've never done that before.
and we hit a big bump. We tip over, and my friend dies. He goes to heaven, and he's astonished that he's in heaven. And he gets to the pearly gates, and he's in awe. It's beautiful. Heaven's everything he had ever heard it was. St. Peter happens to meet him at the pearly gates. And my friend goes, is this heaven? And St. Peter says, yes, it is. He goes, was I in an accident? Yes, you were. Well, what happened to my friend Kevin Daniel? Kevin made it. He's not ready to come here yet. He's got a few more years on earth. And my friend says, okay. So St. Peter takes him on a tour. And when you get to the gates of heaven, the angels have silver wingtips and they're floating. My friend's eyes are big. He's just awestruck by everything he sees. The roads in heaven are paved with rubies and gold, and there's diamond sidewalks. He's just like, whoa. And they come past this room, and it's laced with velvet wallpaper. There's a gold chalice and a silver ruby-encrusted chair. And above the chair, there's a big light flashing, Kevin Daniel, Kevin Daniel, Kevin Daniel. And my friend looks at St. Peter, and he says, hey, wait a minute. You said Kevin Daniel wasn't here yet. Oh, no, this is God's room. He thinks he's Kevin Daniel. Let's have a door prize. Shannon. All right, coming over, Shannon. And yes, you guys can use that joke if you'd like. Thank you.
Okay, really quick. Really quick. These are both 25 from us. All right, from us. All right. Man, that was the most Kevin Daniel joke that he could have possibly told. All right, we got three more. So we're going to do another $50 from my favorite chapter, the South King Council of the Blind. And if I ever move, it'll be my favorite chapter when I move to wherever it is. So it's just the one that I happen to be in. All right. Alan Benson is our winner. So, Alan, you going to take me out to lunch on Monday?
Wait a minute. Wait, what are two of them?
All right. And then for our next one, I have a $50 Amazon gift certificate from Glenn and Ursula McCulley, and $50, I believe, it is also from my favorite chapter. So, total of $100. The winner of that, I'm going to have Mika read this out loud just so that you know that I'm not cheating. Shannon Curry. That's why I made her read it out loud so she would know. I know, right? This is looking a little suspicious here. All right, so I got $50 from the United Blind of Walla Walla and a $50 Amazon.com gift certificate from Glenn and Ursula McCulley for Kathy Wilson, who does not work at the Washington Talking Book and Braille Library. And that's our door prizes. Thank you guys so much.
Nice job, Shannon, through the weekend. Let's give Shannon a hand. Now it's time for the big drawing. Those of us who have WCB drawing tickets, it's now time to give away the Coupe de Gras. So who's doing that? WCB drawing. Who's doing it? Lisa, please. The multi-raffle. Lisa's making her way up.
So, okay, everybody. So here's how this is gonna work. Everybody who bought a multi-raffle ticket, you have numbered on the back of the stub you were supposed to keep. Okay, so we've got 10 boxes, so we'll draw one out of each box. If I happen to draw a ticket that's got the yellow on it that says keep this stub, I'm going to make you prove you've got the other half of the ticket and you didn't put both of them in the box. Okay? This is our first year to do it, so I don't know what all the rules are, but I'm making them hard. So, is there anybody here that didn't buy one who would like to draw the numbers? Because I put some in there. Anybody? Yes. Yes. I did put last names on the tickets and I kept a master list. So I've got some double checks in place. I'm a kind of a financial person. So yes.
Lisa, I'll draw.
Okay.
Do you want?
What kind of pencil?
Okay. So we're going to do them in order, 1 through 10. Do you all need to know what was in it or you just want me to draw a winner? Prize package number one is a mixed travel bag. That's the one that has next year's convention hotel certificate in it, which is going to have to be mailed to the winner. So, Jessamine is pulling one ticket out, and it's a real ticket, number 6, and the last name is Nelson, who has ticket number 006, Rhonda Nelson. Rhonda, are you here? Okay, if she left, she still wins. She does not need to be present to win. So I will be getting with Rhonda. She's going to be excited. Okay, prize package number 2, it's the low vision technology. Okay. Okay, price package number 2, low vision technology, is ticket 168, and that's Rita Dillick. Okay, so if you are here and if you want a price package, go back to the back. Carolyn has the stuff for you, okay? Or she's delivering it, hand delivering it. Okay. Okay, so if there was something that we didn't have available at the time of the drawing, for example, Rita, you didn't get the $50 Amazon card, you got $50 cash instead. Because it worked out that way. So you did get $50 worth, but you got it in cash. So the price package number 3, the His and Hers Seahawks bundle, donated by Tim and Cindy Van Winkle. Jessamine. Ticket 040, Adam Eakin. Oh, he's in the back. I know he's here. Prize package number 4, that big basket donated from Pierce County Association of the Blind and Pat Whitlow. Okay, ticket 148, Janet George. Janet, did you stay? Did Janet stay? Okay, well, I will get that to her. The basket from Pierce County. Okay, prize package number 5, that big family entertainment basket with all the good stuff in it. That was very, 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 very popular. And in that package, we had some Regal Cinema movie tickets, which will have to be mailed to the winner. Right? And Denise will take care of that, okay?
There's a lot in that.
Okay. Ticket number 408, Annie Hartzell. And I meant to say, we actually sold out of tickets at 6:59. So thanks so much for giving me an extra minute. But I also have to say, anyone who has ticket 481 to 500, you need to personally thank Bruce Radke because he just gave a donation rather than take tickets. So those last 20 tickets, they could have been gone when you got them. So just, if you win, you better thank Bruce. Okay. So prize package number 6, that's the hand crocheted lap throw. And the WCB quilt, 431. Last name is Hamilton. Stephen Hamilton. So you can pick. Oh, he's got it right there. Okay. Okay, that was a big one too. Prize package number 7. This was the jewelry, all the sparkly things. Only one, Jessamine. Only one. Ticket number 204. Last name Richardson. It was Sherry Richardson. Is she here? All right, where is she at? Somewhere. I don't know where she's at. Okay, you got her? The next prize package, number 8, Pamper My Pup and Me. Oh, 374, Annie Hartzell. She bought a lot of tickets. Okay, the 9th prize package. We only have 2 more. This is the Clarity Alto Plus phone. It's got a really loud ringer, big buttons. somebody's going to have to pack this and take it back to Canada. 171 Josette Kernahan, you got it. She really, really wanted that phone. Okay, and prize package number 10 had the yoga mat and carry bag and all of that good bath and body stuff. Three must be her lucky number. 349 Annie Hartzell. I told you she bought a lot of tickets. She bought a lot of tickets. Thank you, everybody. We raised $2,500 on this multi-raffle, which... And please give us some feedback if you liked the way it worked or if you want a silent auction or both. Okay, thanks.
Wow. Wow. Annie, this is Kevin Daniel. Will you buy a lotto ticket for me, please? Man. So, David, Edict, and I worked on the music. It didn't happen tonight. However, I'm going to try something because I don't want to get out of here without a little bit of boogie. Thank you for trying, David. We practiced this all day, went perfectly all day, and then tonight. However, not to be dissuaded, never let it be said that Kevin let a little challenge get in his way. So we're going to try this on the phone, see if we can make this work, because we're almost done. Denise has gotten a couple things to say, but we're going to do a little boogie before we get out of here. Okay, here we go. Let's see if this works.
Here comes the hot stepper, murderer. I'm the lyrical gangster, murderer. Big up the crew in the area, murderer. Still have it like that.
Shake it, baby.
No, no, we don't die. Yes, we multiply. Anyone press will hear the valet say.
All right, Denise Colley, please. Bring her hand. Let's bring her up.
It died.
Can you hear? Oh, you can hear me now. So how am I supposed to top that and do something really serious? You know, there's something really wrong with that. Actually, well, I've got two things I need to do. And the first is to select the winner of the MMS drawing. We got up to 4 applications, so that's good. The winner is someone who, this is his first convention. He's a OTC student. He's from Olympia, but I didn't rig it. Adam Eakins wins. Adam wins a $10 Starbucks gift card. And I have it up here, so I'll track you down. All right. It's not often you get to do really special stuff. But WCB has a program that is extremely special and gives members a chance to really contribute to and be a part, and that is our life members. This year, or this convention, we got 7 new life members.
Four of them bought their own life memberships, so they know about it. But we have three that are surprises. And that's what makes it really fun. So we're going to make the surprise ones wait, because that's a surprise. So last night at the Life Member Reception, we did present to Tony Martinez his Life Membership, and he got his little heart to put on his name tag. But I'm going to call the other three up here so we can give them their little sticky hearts for their name tag. The first person to purchase her life membership is Annie Hartzell. Annie wants to say something about the multi. Oh, good. Annie's going to tell us what the secret is to winning. Because we want to know. Because one of us could have won that big lottery if we'd have known. That microphone is turned.
Okay, here you go. Okay, so here's the secret, everybody. You got to buy lots of tickets. I bought $175 worth and said, this is our donation.
You gotta buy lots of tickets. My chances suck is what they do. Congratulations, Annie. I do. All right. Oh, my list fell apart. The other two life members are a couple, and I'm really excited about this because I think this is totally cool. Purchasing life memberships in WCB are Mark and Linda Wilder. If they could come up and get their little sticker. Oh, well, gee. Well, we'll recognize them posthumously, and we'll make sure that we... No, they're not dead. They're not dead. Okay. Now, are you ready for the three surprises?
Oh, I didn't know about that one.
Did she buy one too? Heather bought one too?
Yes.
Sorry,
yes.
Nobody told me that. Well then, Miss Mears, you need to come up and get your sticker. I definitely don't want to leave Heather out. Is she in here? Oh, all right. Well, see, we're not. All right, we ready for the surprises? All right, this first one was purchased anonymously, so I'm not going to be able to tell her who purchased it for her. But our first surprise life membership is for Rita Nichols. We'll bring your sticker back to you. Hey, we accommodate around here. We know all about accommodating.
Raise your hand.
Rita Nichols, raise your hands. Thank you.
All right. The second life membership I got to hear about last night, and I was like really excited because I thought this was cool. You know, it's not often when a chapter will purchase a life membership for one of their own members, and this member happens to be their president. The life membership purchased by the United Blind of Seattle is for Daryl Roberts. Is Daryl in here? He's coming. There's your sticker. Congratulations. You can if you want to. Would you like to speak? Man, a few words.
All right. Thank you. No. Yesterday, at the president's breakfast, Friday morning, I told Denise that this was my last year as president and she, wouldn't have to put up with me anymore. It looks like now you'll never get rid of me. I want to, I really don't know what to say, except that, I do know what to say. I had a really good friend of mine give me some really good advice about when someone does something like this for you. You should just say, thank you. I'm really grateful and honored to be president of United Blind of Seattle. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Daryl, and congratulations. Our last life member recipient, and this almost makes me want to cry because I think this is so cool. Purchasing a life membership for a person who we all came to know and love, because as a sighted spouse, he was always here with his wife, supporting her in every way he could. The lifetime membership goes to John Amateur. And John's lifetime membership was purchased for him by Deb Lewis. Did he miss it? Well, crud. Huh? Okay. No, you don't want to go knock on his door. Not a good idea. All right. Well, congratulations to all of our life members. This is totally awesome. Have you guys had a good time this weekend? Do you think we have the most awesome convention committee in the whole world? Yeah. To Cindy and her committee, you guys, this is an A-plus convention. You did an absolutely superb job. Thank you for all your hard work. It was great. Yeah.
I also want to say thank you to Kevin for doing such a wonderful job emceeing tonight. And the night is not over because there's still hospitality and karaoke. And one final reminder, don't forget to set your clocks back. We get our hour back. Yay! No, Cindy, does anybody know what time checkout is tomorrow? It's probably 11. All right, this concludes our banquet. Thank you, everyone.